probably just more than halfway through. And the past 3 weeks especially have been very insightful into how the Holy Spirit operates and how we make ourselves available and for His gifts to be ministered through us. And so today is a continuation of the God Breathed series about the Holy Spirit. And it's called, How Can I Live in the Spirit? How can I live in the Spirit? And aha is the answer. If I can humbly submit that to you. So there are some very profound truths in Scripture that help us to understand how we can actually live out a life in the Spirit. And we're going to be looking at those this morning. There are two Scriptures that speak about God's Spirit living in us. And the first one, if you have your Bibles, is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it's verse 16. It says, "Do you not know that you're a temple of God? You're not a temple of Heather or a temple of Shelley or a temple of Erna. You're a temple of God. And that the Holy, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. When you give your life to Christ, when you make that choice, that decision to live for Him and not for yourself anymore, the temple of God moves in. He comes and camps and dwells in you." Romans 8:11, "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." So He's dwelling in us for life, not dwelling in us for boringness or for substandard or second rate. Or He's dwelling in us for life. He really is in us. The life of God dwells in us. So how then should we live? Should we live according to the flesh and the desires we have? Romans 8:5 says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires." So the first question to be asking yourself is, Spirit, what do you desire? Because I don't want to live for myself. Your Spirit is living in me. I want to live for you. What does your Spirit desire? And Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So it's the second question of, what do you desire of me and how must I walk? Okay, so what are you desiring that I do, that I am, that I be, and how do I walk this out? So I want to submit to you that aha provides some answers. We're going to look at H, and I've tagged a little A on at the end. So first point A, choose to be alive to Christ and dead to sin. This really is a choice. This isn't just a state of being. This isn't just an inherited position. This is a choice we have to make all the time, to be dead to sin and to be alive to Christ. Romans 6, verse 6 to 11 says, "We know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way," in the same way, that's not therefore just a random reason, "in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." So when you're faced with that sin again and again and again, it's a choice. I'm going to die to sin in the same way that Jesus made the choice to go to the cross and count death no longer, but to be alive to His Father. So we need to count ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. So it's a choice we make in the very beginning. B is to be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we spoke about this the last few weeks. The power of the Holy Spirit in us, when we're baptized into His Spirit, is what it gives us the power to live. And we need power to live. It's tough out there. I mean, it's not tough so much in here, but the moment you step out the door, get in your car, drive out the gate, and you carry on with your life, it's hard. There's financial strain, there's physical strain on those whose bodies are ailing, or if you're injured or sick. There's relational strain within families and friendships. People are finding it hard out there. We need power to live, and we get that power from the Holy Spirit. Acts 10 says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. This gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. It's not just for an elite group, it is for everyone. It says, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. We need to be desiring more and more, like a hunger that's growing inside you, where your tummy starts to rumble and you start to think, oh, I'm hungry. We need to be desiring more and more the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that we can have that private language of tongues where we can praise Him when our words fail us. Because that power that he empowers us with is what we need to live. If you're living without the baptism of the Spirit, it's like living without petrol in your car and expecting it to go. It's like living a day that's full of demands without having had breakfast. You've got to have this power of the Holy Spirit. You need to start asking the Father, please, I'm hungering for the baptism in your Holy Spirit. The third one I'm going to need Frida's help with. Can you hop up? It is C, to be a channel of compassion from our Father God's heart. Remember, the question today is, how do I live in the Spirit? C is being a channel of compassion. Can you hold up those two items of clothing? You're going to need to put them on someone. I'll give you a cue just now. Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So, Frida here has a jacket, okay? Nice warm jacket. On a cold day, you need something like this, and a scarf. Can you choose somebody to wear the scarf and someone to wear the jacket? You can just put them on. Yeah, just find someone. Okay, you've got to put your arms down the sleeves because you've got to actually be clothed in it. Thanks, Frida. That's got to go. You got to head go through it, Nelly. There's a gap in the middle. Okay, now the same way that Tony's wearing a jacket and Nelly is wearing the scarf, if they had woken up in the morning and they had decided, it's cold today, I'm going to wear this jacket, or I want this accessory, this color around my neck, I'm going to wear this scarf. Same way they are clothed in those items of clothing is what the Bible's telling us to do with compassion. To clothe ourselves with compassion. This is not just a thing we do every now and then. Tony doesn't wear the jacket, take it off, and do something. Wear the jacket, take it off. Wear the jacket, take it off all day. He puts it on, and he wears it. We need to be wearing compassion. We need to be clothed with compassion. But why, you might ask? Because we're made in God's image and He is compassionate. It's His desire that He can reveal Himself to people when we are acting in ways that He would be. If He was standing here with us, what would He be doing? He would be meeting needs, helping those who have needs that need to be met. And we are those channels. We are the people here on earth. We're the hands, we're the feet, we're the lips, the words, we're the hugs. We're the loving kindness, we're the gift of generosity. We are the channels of God's compassion here on earth. And He wants us to be clothed with compassion because that is living in the Spirit. When you decide in the morning to put on that clothing of compassion, your eyes are open to compassion the whole day. You see the needs. You hear the cries of people who need help. You're aware of conversations where people are needing things. Zechariah 7:9 says, this is what the Lord Almighty said, administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. He's telling us to do it. So if we want to live in His Spirit, we need to do what He wants us to do. Doug and I did a course a while back, maybe a few years now, and one of the stories really impacted me. There was a woman who was widowed, whose children were little, and she had no food left in the house. But she loved the Lord, and she just depended on Him entirely. And she felt God tell her, go to the local garage, one of those like 24-hour stores at the garage, and fill your grocery basket with what you need. And she's like, I have no money to pay, but she felt God tell her to do that. So she went to the garage, and she walked slowly up and down the aisles, gathering a few things a bit cautiously because she knew she had no money. But she knew she'd heard from God. She got to the the queue, and she hesitantly joined the queue, and little by little she inched her way towards where the till was, still knowing she had no money to pay. She got to face the cashier, put her shopping basket on the till, and he started ringing the items up one by one. But what God had done, he had organized that another man was standing in the queue right behind her. He'd been in a conference. He was a Christian minister. He had been blessed with an amazing check from the church he'd been ministering in to say thank you for what he had done. And he was in the queue right behind her. And while he was in the queue, he felt God say to him, pay for that woman's groceries. And as he saw her put her groceries on the till, he said, I'll pay for them. And he paid for the whole lot. What if he had not been clothed with compassion that day? What if he'd not been living in the Spirit? She would have had all her groceries rung up and she would have stood there like an idiot with no money to pay. We need to be like those people standing behind her saying, Lord, how can I be compassionate today? Who is needing something? Who needs love? Who needs care? Who needs financial provision? Who needs food? Who needs a hug? How can I be compassionate in this world that so desperately needs you? Just this last week, Doug and I had the very humbling privilege of delivering some groceries to a children's foster home in Presbury, and we took them from the church because they were so in need. And the girl, I also took my mom-in-law's wheelchair that was no longer needed, and we had heard of the cry that for her to have a wheelchair. And so I didn't know the circumstance, and we arrived with the wheelchair, and she didn't come out to meet us at the car, and I thought, well, maybe she's inside. And they said, you'll have to come in and meet her. So we took our boys in and we went and sat in the lounge. Still no girl who we knew was needing this wheelchair. And they carried her in, wrapped in a blanket. She was 21. She has no abdomen or legs. She has brittle bone disease. She's 21. The doctors had given her 10 days to live and she had defied what the doctors believed. And she loves the Lord, and she was brought and carried in this fleece blanket like a baby and put on the couch to talk to us to say thank you for the wheelchair which we'd brought. It was so humbling because I didn't think that she would be that, or the person we were bringing the wheelchair for would be that needy. There are needy people out there. The children in that home, literally the mom and dad, Colin and Pam, who fostered more than 400 children. They currently have 15 in their home. When Doug asked Colin, how do you get your money? He said, I'm on my knees a lot. He literally depends on Christians and organizations showing compassion. And how silly would we look if the Church of Jesus were not being compassionate and unbelieving organizations are doing good and providing for these needs when Jesus wants us to. So compassion is definitely one way that we live and walk in the Spirit. They're not just poor people who need compassion. They're not just foster homes. They are prisoners. They are orphanages. They are widows and widowers. They are lonely people needing compassion. For some people, Sunday is the worst day of the week because they have no family. They are broken people. They've been broken by life's blows. They are divorced people who are hurting. They are financially cash-strapped people hurting. They are grief-stricken people. Grief comes in so many forms. They're dealing with loss on so many levels. They are victims of crime who are suffering with fear and anxiety. There are so many people needing compassion. And God is asking us as his church to be open to being clothed with compassion so that we can demonstrate Jesus to the world. As we walk, as we live in the Spirit, we give compassion. So that's C. D is another decision, and this is a daily decision, not a once-off decision, to be alive to Christ. This is deciding daily to follow him. Matthew 16 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. You must give up your own way, just like that. You must take up your cross and follow me. Now, taking up your cross and following me sounds easier than give up your own way, actually, when we think about our hearts and all the things we want to do and our way being so important and foremost in our minds. But he's saying, give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. There's a cost, a big cost here. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Psalm 143 verse 10 says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, and may your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing." This is talking about total surrender. This is not just about carrying a heavy cross and doing Jesus a favor and following him. This is about surrender. This is saying, I'm going to daily, every day, choose to surrender my will to yours. And this is how we live in the Spirit. E is what really excites me. It's living with expectation for what God will do. I'm absolutely amazed and intrigued by John 14 every time I hear it. Verse 12 says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done," this is Jesus speaking, "and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father." And we know that when he went to be with the Father, he gave us the Holy Spirit, so we'd have the power to do those same works and even greater works. What are those greater works? Let alone, what are the same works? I mean, are any of us raising people from the dead? Are we healing? Are we praying for people to be healed from the sick, or to be healed from being sick? Are we praying for miracles? Are we doing these things? Are we really living in the Spirit? Are we really leaning into God and saying, "Work miracles. I'm believing you with faith for healing." We need to live with a greater sense of expectation of what God can do. He can do so much. And sometimes I think we live just a more comfortable existence as Christians. We know God can heal. We know he can do miracles. But actually, why don't we just step up and say, we're expectant. We're excited. We want to see your hand. We want to see your heart, God. We want to see you at work in us and in our community of people. And I think this is why this is a sermon for me. It is so challenging. Am I living with a greater expectation of what God can do? Or am I settling for just a second best option of comfortableness? So we need to really live with expectation. We're more than halfway there. If, are we living free of past shame and guilt? And are we living free of fear of the future? And Tony shared, I remember he stood here one week and he spoke about the table, how we can, if this is the direction of our lives, we could turn around and we could look at our past. We could say, "Oh my goodness, I'm trapped. I'm not going to go anywhere." Or we could actually say, "There's the future," and walk into it. And so this thing of being free is sometimes for some of us, the need, the freedom we find in Christ to actually have the courage to turn around and no longer see the past, which may have shame, which may have incredible guilt. There may be a whole lot of things that were holding you back, and you can be free. You can live free of your past. And for those people who are not facing their past and are facing the future, maybe they're terrified of it. We can live free of that as well. We don't have to live in fear. Romans 8:1 says, "There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." That just spells freedom for me. Psalm 119:45 says, "I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments." 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Proverbs 31:25 says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future." That is someone who loves the Lord and who's living in the Spirit. We don't need to be fearful or ashamed or guilty. We can live free. G is, to live in the Spirit, we need to be ministering the gifts that God has given you. Now, I know he's given all of us gifts. Some of us are incredible encouragers. Some of us are amazing leaders. Some of us are great servants. Some of you just love to give. Some of you show so much kindness. Some of you love to teach. These are gifts. They're called motivational gifts that we read about in Romans 12. They are in you. You were born with them. Christ gave them to you. Father God gave them to you. They're in you. You need to be ministering in those gifts. Those are natural giftings. There are also gift ministries that Christ gave to the church, like apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, Maybe you feel you're and maybe don't fit in any of those categories, or maybe you do. Are you ministering those gifts if you recognize them in your life? Then there are the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we learnt about in the past 2 weeks. And these are things like words of wisdom. This is supernatural wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Words of knowledge, discerning of spirits, faith, the gift of healing, the gift to work miracles, the gift to prophesy, the gift of tongues, and the gift to interpret tongues. These are supernatural gifts. Which one of these are you desiring? Or how many are you desiring? Because it shouldn't be a question, are you desiring any? The answer should be a resounding yes. If you're living and walking in the Spirit, you need to be desiring at least one of the supernatural gifts of the Spirit, because He wants to use you to minister His life and power to the world. So I've said there, which motivational gifts from Romans 12 do you have? Are you operating in gift ministries from Ephesians 4? And which supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit are you using and desiring? We really want to live more empowered lives. H of aha is hear Him for yourself. Don't live your Christian journey in someone else's experience. So many Christians do that. They live their lives on someone else's hearing of God. They live their lives on someone else's understanding of God. Hear Him for yourself. He wants to speak to you. Job 33:14-16 says, "For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. He whispers in their ears." God is speaking all the time. John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Do you know God's voice? Have you heard it recently for yourself? Are you asking Him to speak to you? He's speaking all the time. I had the most beautiful extreme class lesson last Sunday. I had, so Frida's age, so grade 5, 6s and 7s, and the lesson was about Jacob. And it was how Jacob had fallen asleep and had a dream, and he saw the angels coming up and down on the stairwell from heaven. And so what we did in our lesson was I made them all lie on the floor, and I said, "We're going to be like Jacob, and we're going to ask God what He wants to say to us today. So we're going to ask Him to speak to us, and I want you to hear Him." And it was profound what these children, there were probably 8 of us, 7 of us, yeah, what we heard. And the whole time I was saying, "Please, Lord, please speak to these children. I don't want to make them lie here for nothing." And so a couple of them have given me permission to share what they heard from God. Now these are 11, 12, and 13-year-olds. One of the boys was lying there and he had his eyes closed, and I was just saying, "Lord, speak to the children." And I said, "Guys, if you see anything in your mind while you're lying there, ask God, is this from you? And if you feel Him confirming that it's from Him, ask Him, what do you mean by this? What does it mean? And if He explains to you what it means, then hold on to it. Otherwise, ask more questions. What are you trying to say to me? How can this apply to my life? Is this for someone else or is this for me?" And so the one boy said he saw, because when they stood up and we chatted afterwards, he said he saw a corner. It was like a square and it had a very sharp corner. And he said, "At that moment, I had said to them all, if you see something and you're not sure what it means, ask God what it means." So he'd said to God, "What does this corner mean?" And he felt God say to him that inside that corner is a curve that comes up and rounds off inside the corner. And he said, "God, what does that mean?" This is a grade 7 boy. And he felt God say to him, "Your life has like a sharp corner. You are like a sharp corner, and I want to come and round off that edge that's not pleasing to me. I want to come and make it smoother." And he was like, "God spoke to me." But he was like nervous and tentative about the whole thing. But God, he heard from God. Another boy gave me permission to share the story. He saw a big funnel, huge big funnel with lots of rice, little grains of rice pouring through the funnel. And I'd said, you know, ask God what it means. And so he'd asked, and he felt God say to him, "This is for a message for the whole church, that we're like those grains of rice that He's pouring." He's pouring, not us. He's pouring them through the funnel. And each one of us has something to give. And He's channeling it all into his purposes. Someone else had a picture of a field of grass, green grass with lots of flowers, and a boy actually. And he said, God, what does this mean? And he suddenly saw a huge word, righteousness, drop down onto this field with all the flowers. And he immediately said, I don't even know what that word means. What does it mean? And we were able to talk about how God gives us right standing with him. It's not something we do ourselves. It's something he does. It's our position in Christ. And we really had an amazing time of hearing from God. And you know, as adults, I think we can become lazy and think that our children are not hearing God and not press them. What is God saying to you today? Why not step up into that and say, as a family, we're going to really ask God to speak to us tonight. And so when you're on your bed and you're lying still and quiet, ask God to speak to you. And at breakfast, we're going to talk about what God has shared with all of us. Or ask your children, what did you dream last night? Do you think God spoke to you in your dreams? Or if we have family devotionals or quiet time, say, guys, do you think God is trying to speak to us today through this passage of Scripture? What is he trying to say to us? Because God is speaking all the time. I wanted to just ask Doug, can you share your short testimony about your business and how it started? We just need to be hearing him for ourselves.
This is nice that Shells is here. So I do environmental consulting work, and about 10 years ago I was wondering how I was going to provide for the family. I had a job that was kind of just getting us by, not quite. And it was a time when things were hectic with kids. So like really, probably once a week I'd manage to read my Bible, really feeling like, you know, is God even going to listen to me? And lying in bed one night, I took the Bible out and I was just praying and reading through a passage. And a passage really just stood out for me. And I felt it saying, God prompted me to say, I'll provide for you. And that is essentially what the passage was saying. I thought, sure, God, that's cool. That's what I want to hear. But is it you speaking or is it just me reading into it what I want? And anyways, I didn't share it with anyone. And I shared it with Heavy, but to no one else. And we went to Bible study that night or the next night and to Grant and Shelley's home. And Shelley had a word, just a single verse, that she said God wanted to share with me. And it was exactly the same verse that I'd had the night before. So, I mean, and that has been an anchor for me for the last 10 years. Just that hearing that little word that you hear heard from the Lord, Charles, has been an anchor for me for 10 years. So that's what it can mean to one another as well. If we're willing to actually step out and ask God to come in and help us, he wants to support us and give each other anchors as well. Yeah, thanks.
And then just a few stories from my side. When I was agonizing over whether to homeschool my middle son, Josh, I had particularly been asking the Lord one morning. I'd been reading from the beginning of Proverbs, and I had said, Lord, I really want you to speak to me. I want to hear. Must I homeschool Josh or not? And I don't quite know what I thought he would do, but I read this particular passage of Scripture 3 times, and I said, I'm not hard of hearing. I want to hear from you, so speak to me. I actually am waiting to hear from you. I want a resounding yes or a resounding no. And I read it and read it and I prayed and I said, Lord, please speak to me. I just can't go on like this not knowing. And then I realized the time had moved on. I thought, oh, I better quickly go. And I was going to a One Life conference in Maritzburg. And one of the electives at the conference was about how to grow kids that love church. And it was actually, I thought it was about children's ministry, so I was going to hear how we could do that better in our church. And actually, it was about how to grow children who love God and serve him through the model of church. And one of the things they spoke about was teachable moments with your children and how to give them more exposure to the supernatural. And I was absolutely, you could have heard a pin drop, I was so inspired by what they had to say. But towards the end of the talk, for some reason, deep inside of me, this sobbing started, and I started to absolutely weep. And the woman sitting next to me, who didn't know me, she just sort of put her arm around me, and I think she was praying for me. And afterwards, I left, and I came home. And that night at 8 o'clock, I got a message from an unknown number on my phone, and she said, I asked someone for your number. And I felt God give me this verse, and it was a verse from the exact scripture that I had read that morning. And it was specifically talking about how the God of wisdom will teach us in all the ways we should go. And it just made me feel like, God, you will be the teacher in this situation. I don't need to rely on a school system. You're going to teach us how to do this. And so I really felt like God was speaking to me, although he needed to use someone else. So this idea of hearing him for yourself can be a direct voice speaking to you in your heart or your mind. It can be an audible voice, like an actual voice, like someone speaking in a room. It can be a scripture that you read. It can also be a scripture that somebody else brings to you and says, I've heard from the Lord. This is for you. But my point with this H of hear him for yourself is, are you pressing in and asking God? Are you making yourself ready to hear from him? I went on a PTP weekend, which stands for Positioning the Prophetic. And Doug and I were invited to come along on the team and be trained in how to facilitate people developing their gifts of prophecy. And the last activity that we did before we went home on the Sunday was incredibly scary for me. We were paired up with someone we didn't know. We had to go with someone we didn't know and that we hadn't had a conversation with at all that weekend. And then the guy prayed, and you must know this was at the end of a weekend of training. Okay, and then he said, now I want you to look at the person you're sitting with. I'm going to give you a minute or two to pray and ask God, but then I want you to prophesy over them. I was just like, you're kidding me. How can I go to the bathroom? How can I get out of here? I've got to, this is too much for me. And as I looked at this woman who was beautifully manicured, she had, you know, manicured nails, even her toes were pedicured, she had pearls, her hair was styled with highlights, she looked beautiful. God told me she's a gardener. And I looked at this woman and I was like, no, I've heard wrong. This can't be right. I've not heard right. And the more this got pressed on me, she's a gardener. I want to speak to her about gardening. The more I started looking at her feet, they were not even dirty. They were not even cracked. They were not dry. I was like, this woman does not hang out in the garden. And after the minute had passed, they said, right, go for it. So she said to me, you go first. I was like, oh, can't believe it. So they had trained us that weekend to simply just say what we felt God had told us. And then to make our mouths open and our breath available for God to speak. And so I just did that. I said, I really feel that God sees you as a gardener. And she burst into tears. So I thought, oh no, I've really messed up here. This is so wrong. And so I thought, well, let me just carry on. And it was, I didn't realize that after I shared whatever, I don't even remember all the details. I remember some of them of what God had shown me. She said to me, how did you know that? So I said, I just made myself aware. I just asked God because he told me you were a gardener. I don't know. And she was a pastor's wife who felt like she had given and given and given all her life. And she said it was like these stupid rose bushes in her Richards Bay garden where the sand is terrible and she can't grow roses and she gardens and gardens and she tries everything to get these roses to be beautiful and it's just not working and she's tired and she's exhausted and she's fed up. And part of what I'd shared was that God wanted her to grow a vegetable garden. I'd said, I feel like God's saying that you've been trying to grow roses all your life and as a show and as a gift to everyone else, and he's just wanting to nourish you with vegetables, and he just wants you to garden vegetables. But they're going to be big and beautiful and nourishing and delicious. And she just said, I'm going to vegetable garden for myself for a season. And I said, that is exactly what he's wanting you to do for your own nourishment, to get into the word, get into teaching that really fills you up again. And so the point here is, we need to be hearing him. We need fresh ministry in our hearts because all of us are weak and vulnerable and tired. And God has so much life to give us when we live in the Spirit. And if we ask him, please speak to me, Lord. I want to hear from you. Or if you know your friend is really worn out and tired, say, Lord, give me an encouraging scripture. Or give me a picture or a prophetic word for my friend who really needs encouragement. Really trust God that he will because he speaks all the time. So that's aha, but not the ah on the end. Here's the A at the end. And that is amen. And amen means let it be. So there's no point in saying we're going to do this, we're going to be clothed with compassion, we're going to hear from God, we're going to all these things if we don't actually say amen, which means let it be. That's choosing and asking God to say, your sovereign will, you step in, you do it, God, I'm leaning on you. So let's pray as an amen. And I'm going to pray through each one of these. Maybe just one of them stood out for you. That's fine. You don't have to have all of them be impactful. So Father God, today I want to just bring this body of people together before you and say thank you that we are so privileged to have the gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us as a temple of God. What a privilege to have your life and your breath and your spirit living in us daily. And I pray that you'd help us to walk in your spirit. So Lord, if we think about this morning, we want to choose to be alive to you. We don't want to be alive to sin. We want to be dead to sin. We want to constantly make choices of being dead to sin so that we can be alive to you. We really want to develop a greater hunger for the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit. Give us scriptures and give us words that would lead us towards taking that step for those who haven't, of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And for those who have, Lord, I pray that you would develop that gift of praising you privately and speaking in tongues and being empowered by the power of your Holy Spirit in us. Lord, I pray for every single one of us to become a channel of compassion from your heart. It is your heart that we are compassionate people. And so I pray that you would increase the opportunities, the measures of opportunity that we have to be compassionate. Father, would you help us to decide daily not to do our own thing, not to follow our own way, but to actually follow you. We want to follow you. We want to make that, we want to count that cost and make that choice. Lord, I pray that you'd give each one of us a greater expectation for what you can do. Greater excitement building of what you can do, even greater than the works you did on earth. We want to be part of your plan for this community. We really want to open ourselves up with expectation for what you will do. Lord, we really want to live free. Those who are stuck in shame and guilt, we want to live free from that. And so I pray freedom for those today, that they'd be able to have the courage to turn from looking at their past, to turn and look to the future. And then to not be terrified and fearful of what lies ahead, but to realize their freedom, which is found only in you. And Lord, I want to pray for each one of us with a measure of gifts that you've given us to really use them. If we all bring our gifts, what an amazing feast that will be. And we want to pray also for a hunger to develop for us to operate in supernatural gifts, which people can't explain and which really just speak Jesus to the world. And then lastly, Lord, I want to pray for every single one of us to hear you. We want to hear you for ourselves. We don't want to live in borrowed stories from others. We don't want to live in, oh, this one heard from God and that one heard from God. We want to live in, I heard from God today and this is what he said. And the life that that brings. And so I just pray that you would develop in us opportunities for time to spend with you where we can actually speak with you and hear from you. And I pray for our children, that as they develop their relationships with you too, that they would hear from you. Thank you that our children can hear from you, and that it's such an encouragement when they do. And that same Holy Spirit that lives in us lives in them. And the same measure of who God is that lives in us lives in them. And that we're equal heirs. And so I just pray, Lord, that you would develop in our the whole cross-section of our church a willingness and a hunger to hear you. For ourselves, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks. Is it on? Okay. Warren and Ty, just speaking about what's happened, Tony, remember what you said to me at Wednesday? You said, who can we get to come to the men's group? That was on a Wednesday, and shortly after that, I met Warren. So Warren, who's gone through a very tough time. And, you know, when I'm listening to you, and I respect you, and your prophecy, you know, I've got huge respect, so when you talk, I listen. And when Warren popped up, it was like, you know, had to be. So I invited him to the church. So that was just an example of how, if you listen, and you're obedient, and you know, I'd just like to thank Heather, and Doug, and Pam, and Rob, because you've stood by me for so long. And just to say to Warren, we're both in the same place. He's in a very, very tough position. And without the church, I don't think I'd be here today. Thanks.
Sorry, forgive me.
five and something years ago, Suzanne, those of you who remember Suzanne, gave me the ingredients, etc., etc., to start making rusks. And I vacillated because it didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Who in South Africa makes rusks as for a living? Because the place, South Africa, drowns in rusks, doesn't it? And, you know, it says in the Word, and people say it all the time, the Word will direct your feet. You have to believe it. And so I said to the Lord, okay, I'm not, so the gift is in my hand, but I haven't closed my hand over it. And I said to him, I'm not moving until you tell me what to do. And it has to be clear and direct. And I waited for 3 months. And I just read the Bible every day like I do. And I was reading in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles verse 17. And I saw this verse and I thought, sure. And Nathan said, came to David and said, this thing that you are thinking of doing, just do it, for God is with you. And I closed my hand on the gift that he had given me. And I cannot tell you how many times I've gone back to it and said, this is your promise to me, but I cannot see past the fog of XYZ. But your promises are true. And I know they are true and I stand. And so like probably you with your business and me with my business now 5 years and something down the road, simply Suzanne exists. And it keeps me going. And people love it. And I just keep going back and saying, because you are faithful and you do not move. You are solid. So have courage, everybody.
Okay, thanks everyone. It's been a